Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Latinas Watching Bravo. And I'm so excited. If any of y'all have been following my crazy IG stories, y'all know I'm a big fan of this man right here. Y'all don't even understand how excited I am. I hope I can get through this interview without fanning out too much. So today, guys, big treat. We have Chef Nelson from Top Chef Portland.
Woo! Hola, hola.
Hola, Chef. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so good. It's a Tuesday. It's a beautiful day here in Oakland. And I'm on Bravo Zoe Latina, so I'm really honored to be here.
Awesome. Shout out to all the girls in Oakland. I know we have some viewers. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
Latino. And for anyone that doesn't know, if you have, y'all saw I was like making full billboards on my page, but Chef Nelson was the Dominicano this season. So shout out to all the República.
Representando ahí, tú sabes.
Hey, I'm so excited. I don't know if you knew, we were having like a whole party on our page. Chef, oh, yeah. Chef Byron knew. He followed our Instagram stories a lot. Shout out to Chef Byron.
Yeah, big shout out. He's amazing.
I've been following all the work you guys have been doing. You guys are amazing, man.
Tú sabes, we're just trying to keep the momentum and using the platform that we were honored to be a part of and blessed and keep the movement going. Tú sabes. Representando wherever we can. It's not over for us. It's not just about being a chef now. It's about really making good change for our people and keeping representation going in this, especially in this industry that we're in, because there's not many of us. Usually we're in the back and nobody knows who's there. But at the top level that we're on, it's like it's great for people who look like us, who come from our cultures, to see that, you know, be motivated that you can actually make it. And just keep moving, you know, keep moving forward.
100%. I can't tell you how amazing it was as a Latino viewer to see so many Latinos on this season. I'm a new Top Chef fan because I had barely started mm-hmm. last season, but so many of our viewers were like, you know, sending me messages and writing me, and I'm a new person to Top Chef world, but I'm not new to being Latina. I've been Latina my whole life, right? So I was in tears for a lot of these episodes, I gotta tell you. So we'll get into all that, but before we start, I wanted to know, because I got pieces of it during your confessionals, and there's actually a beautiful, I saw it anyways, and I'm gonna ask that in a minute, but I saw like I could feel your own personal evolution in your story as a Latino on the show. But I want to ask you from the beginning, tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, just, you know, ¿quién es Chef Nelson?
Of course. So me llamo Chef Nelson Germán, born and raised in New York City, Washington Heights. So you already know In the Heights, coming out the movie.
Yeah.
Born and raised out here. Aquí estoy in Oakland, California ahora for the last 12 years. Do my thing. But Dominicano from New York. Been in the business over 23 years and just grinding, you know, moving up the ladder as much as I can. Traveling the world, representing wherever I can. But it's crazy how you were talking about the evolution. And that's the great story about this is like, for a lot of us who came in this industry, especially back in the days, it wasn't about like Latin representation wasn't there, right? Like right. There was Latinos in the kitchen. Of course, there's a lot of us in the kitchen, but our food wasn't represented a certain way in a high level or in a respectful level. Siempre right. Algo que tiene que estar cheap, tú sabes. Comida mm-hmm. Dominicana, Mexicano, like everything's a cheap food that's mm-hmm. greasy and only for when you're drinking. Pero our culture is so diverse and so rich in history and ingredients, you know, that there's things that the white man will use in their cooking and it's seen as something high end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like now that's what we're fighting for, to change that, to be, get that respect. Whether it's Dominican, Cuban, everything in the diaspora, Africano mm-hmm. también, like we mm-hmm. got to represent that.
100%.
I'm Afro-Latino.
Right.
I know 100%. That now I see it in my food. I see it in the culture, like the ties are there and we have to give tribute to that.
100%.
So yeah, like my progression as a chef has changed. Like, always before, when you start, is always about knowing about French and Italian, Spanish cuisine, which is in our culture, of course, porque los españoles, tú sabes, colonize us and a lot of our things. So it's always there, but those are the only foods that were like seen as the food you should do if you want to be a great chef.
Oh, wow. That's changing. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And it's about time. You know, there's so many cuisines out there in the world. And when it comes to being Latino, our cuisine is so vast. There's so many different cultures that influenced it, but it's still Latin cuisine. Now it's finally getting its respect, you know, especially a lot of us who are Latinos on the show, or even just Black. It's just like, we came from so many parts of the diaspora, but a lot of similarities that you saw in our foods. A lot of the ingredients that we use were similar, but in different techniques that we use. But it's coming from our hearts. It's coming from things that we grew up with. So we're actually telling a story with this food. It's not just, oh, let me just do this that might taste good, tú sabes. Experimenting.
Right.
Like, now is really cooking with your heart and giving tribute to where you come from and your family, your ancestors, the people that paved the way for us, who died for us, you know? So like, that's my evolution, like really focusing on that.
I love that so much. Last season, that's what hooked me to Top Chef. I became a big fan of Chef Gregory and Chef Melissa. Yeah. And I remember during Restaurant Wars, I felt such a kinship to Chef Gregory because that is what I'm fighting for all the time. Also, like when he spoke of how Haitian food is looked upon and he's trying to uplift that and everything that comes with and show the world a different side of Haitian food in what he would call his restaurant Khan, which I think I remember last season, he said it means sugar cane, right? If I remember correctly. And I'm telling you, it stayed with me forever because when Restaurant Wars was happening, again, I have a political side and a media side. Everyone that follows our podcast, y'all know my story. But when that came out, I was looking at who was left. And so I remember it being, I think Chef Gregory and Chef Melissa were like the only POC. And I thought it was really interesting that the other three were like white males who were doing cuisines that are not white. And I was like, well, ain't that something? You know, no te tengo que decir, pero tú sabes, right?
Sí, claro que sí, claro que sí. And you know, lo que es que there's, you know, a lot of us definitely get mad about that, but there's really nothing wrong with that as long as it's appreciated. Long as they're giving tribute to that cuisine.
Exactly.
Not taking it over and try to
act like they invented this. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. I understand food and I love fusion food. And I think that's what is so beautiful about storytelling through food. But what does make me upset is when people seriously acting like they invented a taco. And I'm like, really?
Exactly.
Like, I can't.
Es verdad, es verdad. Okay, tú sabes, like with me being Dominican, I don't do Dominican food. Like, that's not the only cuisine I can do. I studied so many different kinds of cuisine. So if I wanted to open up a fusion restaurant, que tiene chino con whatever. Like, I don't want people seeing me like, oh, you're not Chinese, you shouldn't be doing that. But if I'm doing it the right way and I'm giving tribute to that and really represent that culture in the right way and not trying to be like, I'm changing everything and this is how it's better, then that's what I'm doing wrong.
Which is actually what I loved about Cocoson.
Right.
It was such a beautiful story. I literally cried. I cried at the end when they brought out that final dish because it was a hodgepodge, which was exactly what this whole thing was. And it was two cultures, but they were both represented and they were both done with respect and love. And I loved every single dish. I loved every moment of that. It really brought me to tears. I think when food is done in fusion that way, I think it's so beautiful. Yes. Definitely. So I totally feel you on that. Going into actually before we get all the way down to that part of the season, I wanted to start at the beginning. What was it like to receive the call? I would have died. Like, did you like what's the process like before the part we don't get to see?
Well, you know, definitely long process, like a big audition. Some people, they call you, you know, to start the process. Some have to apply. I was blessed and fortunate that they actually called me.
Ooh. Yes, chef. Yes. Let them know. Let them know.
So that was a big honor, tú sabes. Absolutely. Because with me, it's like, I'm a business owner. I own two places. And it's hard to get away. So for a lot of opportunities I've would have gotten, I would always say no because I never had the time for it.
Right.
But because one of my places was closed, you know, during the pandemic, the other one's just doing takeout. It's like, it was a kind of a blessing in disguise that I can actually go and take this opportunity. Like, this is opportunity that comes once in a lifetime, and I didn't want to give it up. So I finally had a chance to actually give that time and give that commitment. But when I found the call, you know, and this, it's a grueling process. It's not just the first call and you're in. You have to go through a lot of interviews, cooking, the whole nine.
Really?
But
y'all have to cook for them before the show, before you're even selected.
See, that's the typical thing. Yeah. Pero, you know, when you do finally get that email or call, it's like, it's unreal.
I can't. Where were you? Well, first, what did you cook for them before? Like, what was it? Do you remember the dishes, your audition dishes? I'm curious.
One of them, I don't remember all of them, but one of them was definitely a version of a curry shrimp. Con habichuela, or what you call frijoles.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Dominican style. It was like confit potatoes and un chile relleno.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was really proud of that one. Pero tú sabes, it's just like, it's not just the cooking too, it's a personality, who you are. They want to know your story, and make sure you're capable of being under all this pressure, because there's so much pressure, you know? There's a lot of cameras on you. There's the timing is real. It's not fake. Once you have 20 minutes to cook, it's really 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
And it goes fast.
Y'all stressed us out as the viewers.
Hey, we were more stressed out than everyone else. I know.
And then looking at how far that damn kitchen was because of COVID, like, I'm like, they need more time. Yeah. They can't run all that.
That's what made it worse, because the kitchen was massive. Teníamos que coger una milla para just to get a celery, you know?
Yes.
Like, it was crazy. That's what we saw, us all sweating and shit. I was like, damn.
I know. Like... It was intense. But I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Back to the phone call. What was that moment like? Or is it a blur?
No, it's definitely not going to be a blur. It's one of the most memorable moments as any chef will ever have, you know? And I was at work, actually. So my wife.
Oh my God! Was everyone just like dying and clapping and crying? Yeah. I would have been.
No, I couldn't tell anybody. Basically,
what you guys can't tell anybody? Yeah. No. Well, because then you'll ruin the show. That's right.
Yeah, nothing has leaked, but just my wife's the only one that knew, and she sent me the text and message. I was like, wow. And people saw something was up, you know, but I couldn't say anything.
Oh my God!
But it was like the most amazing feeling. I had to keep it all inside because we're, you know, in the middle of service. But yeah, it was like a moment of like finally making it, you know, like after all these years grinding and like this feeling of like, wow, I finally made it.
And you haven't even started. I know. Oh my God. What a beautiful moment. Cause you know, I look at things, I always think of when I'm 90 and like on my bed, you know, I always feel like today I always live thinking like, well, like I want to remember this when I'm 90. So like, what an amazing feeling when, cuando está viejito y ahí está. You're going to have this moment, you know?
Yeah. It's fucking amazing. But it's like, once you get out of it, you know that it's not the end.
Right.
So there's more work to do. Right. And that's the crazy thing about from the beginning when you get that call to now, like the progression of yourself and really being in tune with yourself. And knowing your purpose. I think that's the most important, rewarding thing about being in the competition, in the show, is you finally learn what your purpose is. Tú sabes? And like, going back to Gregory, if you see when he first started, him and Melissa, years ago, the first season that they were on, they weren't cooking their food. They were cooking a lot of things that they learned throughout the years. Melissa was doing a lot of French, style of cuisine. Gregory was doing a lot of Asian cuisine. Because he was, you know, running an Asian restaurant. Mm-hmm. Definitely they were touching their influences here and there, but it wasn't like full on, you know? But the more you do the show and what you see, and because of everything going on politically, you finally realize like, let me just go for it. Let me take
my authentic self. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me represent now, no matter what. Even if it's not food I've been doing my whole career, it's food I've actually been eating my whole life. And it's really in my blood and my heart, you know?
And I think that's what I found so beautiful about all the Latino dishes this season. One of the episodes, which is my next question, one of the other episodes that really made me cry was the Pan-African Challenge.
Yeah.
I thought it was so beautiful. And, you know, it's funny, you were saying earlier about we have a lot of the same influences. I remember when I was living in DC, I was so homesick. So I'm from Texas. I'm a Texan. And I was so homesick, you know, because in Texas, tenemos comida mexicana por todos los lados, right? And so nunca hay de no tener. And so going to DC, there was like nothing, not really. And then I'm from the frontera. I'm from a border town. So like I'm used to like comida mexicana, not Tex-Mex. No shame to my Tex-Mex friends. But it was just different, you know? So going to DC, like I struggled a lot, and it added to my homesickness, because food is love. Food is our heart. Food is our mother, our family. So I was really feeling it. And one day, I decided that I was going to let my nose guide me. And I literally said, okay, I'm going to like close my eyes just enough so I'm not deciding, but like, I know where I'm going and, you know, no one's going to steal my purse, right? Like I'm going to keep my eyes open, but I'm going to let my nose lead me, because DC has such phenomenal food. I want to see, like, without my eyeballs distracting me, I wanted to see what smelled like home. And so I was walking and it didn't take me long where I smelled something and I'm like, oh my God, this smells exactly like things I've had at home. Like this smells familiar. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry. I opened my eyes and it was a Jamaican shop, a Jamaican food place, a little food truck thing. And they had like jerk chicken and all these things and the arroz. And like, I bought a plate. I started going there like every day for lunch. I had found a piece of home. So when you guys did the Pan-African Challenge, y'all had me in tears. And of course, this relates to what I was saying about, I saw your story. I think for a lot of Latinos, you know, especially those of us that are like very political, we're fighting to uplift and recognize our African roots within our Latinidad. And I saw that in your episode. So you had me in tears. I saw like the moments where you were quiet in the confessionals and I knew what you were thinking. So like, just tell us what that was like for you. Cause I also followed you after that. And I saw that you did your own African, not the ancestry DNA, but the African DNA. Right?
Yeah. That was amazing. So I did my African ancestry and my ancestors come from Cameroon. So it's in the western part of Africa, right by the waters. And lo behold, that's where the plantains come from. And you know, being Dominican, nosotros plátano, like that's our thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and on the show I was doing plátano and this and that, and even though Padma said no more plantains, it's like, fuck that. Like, this is my food, you know?
That's right. Represent.
Like, I'm going for it. And this is where the ties come from. And that opened my eyes so much, because I knew there was always black in us, right? But in Dominican culture, in a lot of our Latin cultures, a lot of our old school minded, you know, people don't believe that we have those ties in certain places, especially in the Caribbean.
Right.
They all think that we just come from the Spaniards, some old Latino dama. De blanquito, los morenos son nada. Like that's not cool. Like we all come from different shades. The Africans there, the majority is there from Africa. The Taínos were there too, and of course the Spaniards, and even from the Moors, from the out of it.
That's right.
Like, we got that shit. It's there. You see it in our food. You see it in our swag, in our things that we make. Like it's crazy. But when I did the African ancestry, like I went into tears right away. Like I just felt the finally knowing about my who I am and where I come from. Not just
and how significant in the food, that. Something you've eaten all the time.
Yeah. Lo plátano from there, la yuca, cassava. Mm-hmm. Like that's where it was exported the most from throughout the years and centuries. So it's like, wow, this is like crazy. And it's both my parents. They're both sides come from Cameroon. different tribes there, but from that country. And it's like, holy shit, this is insane. Just knowing that knowledge, you know?
And was it because of the Pan-African Challenge that you then wanted to do the African DNA? That's what I wondered.
Yeah. Yeah. That was part of it.
How amazing.
That was definitely part of it. Yeah. That was definitely part of that. That opened my eyes some more. And I knew I was been fighting for this and this movement and everything before the show. Mm-hmm. The Pan-African Challenge even extended that because it was more this feeling like, wow, I see even more ties to this. Like eating the Senegalese food was like eating my mom's food.
Right.
Like, it was so similar. Eso era casi igual. And look at where Maria.
Yes.
Estaba llorando comiendo Jamaican food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like to her, it was a mole. You know, roti is like tortillas.
That's
like
why I told that story of DC, because it happened to me. It was a Jamaican food truck that felt like home, that smelled and tasted like home. So like that episode really reached out to my heart also.
Yeah.
But as a Dominican, what did that episode mean to you from start to finish? Do you remember things about that day? Because it was really a beautiful episode. I mean, I really, I teared up. I'm telling you this whole season, but I remember that episode specifically.
No, it was amazing. And even the feeling in the kitchen was so different. Like a lot of us were there together, cooking around each other. We're so in bliss, you know, like
how beautiful.
Just the food that we had. Just knowing that this is being showcased finally was really special to us. And we were like, it was personal. Like it was personal. And a lot of it about me being quiet is because everything was personal to me. I was really pissed off that, you know, Kiki and Chris were in the bottom for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that didn't sit well with me, but you know, they're the ones who are judging. Mm-hmm. I understood what they didn't like about it, and they understood what it was too, that they did wrong. And that's the first part of it, right? You have to understand, like you can get mad for the critique, but a lot of things were right, you know, and you realize that you know how to make it better. With me and my dish, for me was, for what I heard, they enjoyed it. Even though Chef Kwame said that it tasted like something I did before, which is, I don't know how that's possible. It was only episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he just met me. Pero I should have done a little more spice to my food. And what opened up my eyes is I finally understood why my mom and grandma would use pickled cabbage in our food. And it's because our food is so heavy. Like, and that's what I was like saying, like, why they're saying my food is heavy, but this is my food. This is how we eat. You can't tell me you know Black Afro-Latino food if you never grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like our food is very starchy. We got the plantains, we got the beans, el arroz, la carne guisada, like that you're stewing for hours. It could be really heavy food, pero there's always touches of like pickled items. Even like when you get tortillas out here in California, you get your pickled carrots, you get your radishes.
Oh, that's right.
It's all to lighten the food up because definitely our food is heavy because in our culture, the meaning behind that is that we don't know if we're going to live the next day. You know, we only have, and it's like, this has to be, if this is the last meal you're going to have, you better be full. You better be happy. You better love this shit, you know? So we always live every day like it's our last.
Like it's the last. Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty profound right now. Wow.
You know, because a lot of our people in our countries don't live, you know, luxurious.
Right.
You know, don't have the same privileges we have here. And that sometimes we take that for granted when we live out here. We complain 100%. About a lot of things that are bad, but our people aren't living their best lives in our own country where we come from, you know? So it's like food is everything to us. Food is really what brings us together, what makes us happy. It's a necessity. So when you eat your food, it could be your last.
Right. You
know? So that's why we eat so heavy because we just want to die dreaming, you know, moli soñando.
Right.
Is a term in the Dominican Republic. But I knew from that episode that, and that's what I do now in my food, I have to have some kind of influence or ingredients that lighten the food up that I do. And I knew that's what I should have done, especially in that episode. I would have added some kind of pickled elements, like the pickled cabbage that my mom and grandma used to use in the past. And I never understood why. I was like, why are you putting repollo on this? Like, we don't need a salad. To me, it was just a salad, but it's more than that. It's for a reason, you know, everything has a reason for it.
What did your mom say about that? Was she like, te dije, or no?
Sí, like, you never ate your cabbage. Like, now you know why we eat it. You know, it keeps you eating more because it lightens things up. It cleanses your palate, you know? And then with me, I should have added a little more spice because, again, even though Dominican food isn't spicy, mm-hmm. pero the challenge was Pan-African. So even though it's influenced by that, but in that western part of Africa, they love their spice.
Yes.
So just adding a little touch of that would have been it for me. Because I cooked the shit out of that chicken.
Yeah, they were happy with it.
No, honestly, yo estaba así, and like that shit was like, I was so happy after that. And I put all my heart and soul into that dish. A lot of us did, into our food. That there was no way they're going to tell me this is bad. Like, I felt so confident about it.
But you know what? That's great because you can look back and still be proud. You stand by it. You know, you can, sure, if you can go back and tweak it, but I think it'd be worse if you were like, I didn't cook that through. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but you're definitely super proud of it. And I think
you gotta own it. You gotta own it. Especially when you're in that platform and you're at that level. And you know, the most amazing thing too in that episode is that we finally got to cook for people. I'm not sure if everyone realized that, like, we actually had a dining room to cook and people.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
A lot of us were, you know, during the pandemic, we didn't have anybody to cook for except for takeout. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was shut down. So we were in awe in that situation that we finally get to cook for a dining room after all these months of being shut down. So we're like so giddy about that shit.
And you guys were also cooking for the owners.
Yeah.
Of the places y'all had visited, right?
Yeah.
I almost think that was more stressful than the judges. A little bit.
Partially, but you know, for a lot of us who come from that culture, we weren't. Like, we were honored.
Right.
It was an honor to
Familia.
See. Like, they honored us with their food, and we felt at home. We want to do the same. We didn't want to make it, like, too fancy and this and that. We want to give a tribute to them and our ancestors and really cook from the heart and the soul.
That's so beautiful. I loved that episode. You know, watching you come on when everybody was announced, you were also the only Afro-Latino, am I right? Representing both?
Yeah, kind of. You know, Byron could kind of fall in that line too, being Costa Rican.
Okay.
There's these ties that, you know, I think this still needs to be kind of, you know, found. Like in Costa Rica, the ties are there, but it's not really talked about much yet.
Right.
You know, in the Caribe, like it's more prominent, you know, and a lot of us are in our new generation are really like diving into that history and educating people in those countries about it.
Right.
You know, in Cuba, Puerto Rico, DR, like it's there, you know, there's other countries who are still learning about that.
And have you ever been able to go back to the DR to visit?
See, last time I was there, pre-pandemic, so I think 2019, first time me and my family, like all of us actually went on vacation together.
Oh, wow.
Grandma, mom, brother.
Oh, that must have been so beautiful. You guys all got to go together, right?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was really amazing. And to go to the motherland was really dope.
What did that feel like for you?
It was special. It was special. And I almost said no, too, because, you know, I always work a lot. So,
yeah.
But I'm glad I did it. It was like once in a lifetime, possibly. You know, my grandma's getting older. So to be with her in DR, because the last time I was with her in DR, I was a kid. But to be there as an adult and really enjoy myself and talk to her and be around her. And my mom being there too, because my mom hates flying. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to get her to fly, but it's like she knew this might be the last time all of us as a family get there. You know, be together in Dominican Republic. So that was really special.
To have that moment. Did it feel, did you feel connected to the land right away? When you, like, as soon as you got off the plane or like within the first week?
It's amazing. That's where it all started too. Like being together, like, honestly, for me, like when I opened my first restaurant, Alamal, mm-hmm. I wasn't going Dominican. I wasn't really cooking food I grew up with. There was still some dishes, yes. Como el pollo guisado, I had tostones on there. I have jarabo, which is the oxtail. I only have a small amount of dishes. Like the restaurant is more of a passion project and showing like who I am as a chef, how I progress. Mm-hmm. So dishes that I had as a child, which are those Dominican dishes, to dishes I've cooked in the past, to dishes I cook from traveling, you know, and to who I am now. It's a seafood restaurant, El Marisco. Pero, like the last few years, 2018 is when it really started. Like I really started kind of asking more questions and really diving into my roots more and more, and started cooking more of my food I grew up with, and asking my mom and grandma more questions too. Like I regret not asking them, being in the kitchen with them more, you know, and actually asking questions. I was a really quiet kid. Yo era muy, muy calladito. Yo no preguntaba tanto. I was just be there observing, which is good too. You observe and you absorb knowledge, but I should have asked more. And that's one big regret I have as a chef too. Pero it's never too late. Tú sabes.
That's right. Ahora sí puede empezar.
Sí, sí, claro. And now I understand food more in a scientific way and about techniques. Pero like really learning the authentic way of doing it and why it's done a certain way. Really learning the history of our food and our roots, you know.
And how did your abuela and your mom feel? Like, I mean, God, they must have just been beyond proud. ¿Qué te dijeron? What has that been like?
It's been amazing. Yeah, you know, definitely very proud. My grandma still cries every time she saw me on TV.
I would too. Because, like, it's their legacy. It's their food. It's what they fed you. Like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine. Yes, abuela. Oh, my God.
And that's what they were the most proud of. Like, I actually went and cooked, like, from the soul. Like, I cooked my food. I cooked food I grew up with.
Yes.
That I learned from them, you know? Instead of being too fancy, like I did in one episode, I try to go a different way, and it landed me in the bottom. So sorry.
And you said that. Like, I remember you said, like, that you would have stuck to like your, I think you said something like you were going to try to deviate, but then afterwards, I think they asked you and you said, oh, I wish I would have just stuck to my roots.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I look back and I finally hear what they were saying, you know, cause a lot of things you don't hear, especially when you're in the middle, you don't hear any feedback, but that drives you crazy because for us it's like, we're a lot of us perfectionists. We want to hear feedback, especially from these amazing people. We want to learn what we can do better to be at the top. But you don't get to hear anything. So you automatically think that you're doing a lot of wrong things.
Right.
And you try to change it. Instead of like now, if I go back, I'm like, okay, I know the game. Let me, if I'm in the middle, it's okay. Let me just show out when I get to the finale and to the end. It's a marathon. You know, it's a marathon. You can win challenges here and there, but it's just that moment and you could be gone the next challenge. Like, just get past it, get to the finals. That's when you really come out and you show out who you are. Like, you still want to cook great food and you want to cook your best, but when you can really like take the biggest risk and just go for it, it's at the finals, at the end, you know?
Actually, that's a good segue into my next question a little bit. I should have asked you this at the beginning, but I get so wrapped up in storytelling, I forget the technical side. So for the people that watch Top Chef to watch like the technique, I feel like I should ask a little bit about that side of it. You said that the kitchen was really hard, and now we know that you guys are doing this, no editing. This is real time, right? What we're watching?
Mm-hmm.
It really is that way. So what was different for you now in a competition? Like those quick fires, that breakfast steak and egg quick fire that they made you do like 500. I was so angry. So angry.
I don't know why I waited till the end. Chef Omar Santana, who was Dominicano, I could have sworn he was going to pick lo tres golpe, which is a Dominican breakfast. I was waiting for it. And when he didn't say it, it's steak and eggs. I was just fucking shocked the whole time, and I didn't hit the button. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I could have sworn, we looked at each other, I could have sworn this motherfucker's gonna pick lo mangu, which is the mashed green plantains with a salami and this and that. Like, I'm gonna kill it. And then he said steak and eggs, which I should have gone for too, pero tú sabes. And I'm trying to wait, like, okay, let me wait. Hopefully somebody says something else, like a French toast or something I can do really well. I had all these dishes in my head, but then when I was at the end, me and Chris and Chef says, give me corned beef hash.
Dude, he had like 19 items. I was straight throwing my chancla at the TV. Like, are you kidding me? Sir, do you not see that kitchen? How far they have to run everywhere? And they got 6 seconds. Like, what?
No, but what made it worse too, since we were the last ones, everything was dirty because all the other chefs.
Oh, that's so true.
You know, so it was like, it was a relay race.
Is there cheese men behind the scenes? Like, is there one chef that was hella dirty and like messy that y'all hate, or can we not say?
I can't say it. No, everyone. Okay. Really, yeah. No, equally. Unfortunately not.
I te pregunto después.
Se puede ver un poco en la televisión, pero no. People will make their own judgment on that.
What is it that was different for you? Because you're a chef. You're an owner and a chef. How was the competition portion different? Or how did you adjust to that?
Just the competition. It's made I've done a couple of small competitions before, but not to that grand scale. I'm a collaborator. That's the thing with me. At my age and how long I've been doing this and for what my purpose is, I like to collaborate with people. I like to build people up. I like to do things that have a meaning behind it. Competition is just to win a competition. So, you know, it was a real big first for me. And I didn't know what to expect. Even though I knew some people who have been on the show before, maybe I should have asked questions. My wife tells me, you should have called them up and get some ideas and get some tips. But I want to go fair game and really like come with an open mind and just see how I do. You know, it was more for me like to see how far I have come in this industry. You know, I had a chip on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And because the last few years, especially when you own your own business, there's a time you can become complacent a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, if things going well and, you know, it's not like you can hop around from different restaurants as when you're just a chef, you know, and really like challenge yourself more. When you're owning your business, that's your business. You have to be there all the time. You have to make sure your business is still running. The only time you challenge yourself when you open more and you do different things. So it was like a thing, like I got to a point where I was becoming a little complacent in the cooking side of it. You know, I was becoming more of a business owner. So I needed to challenge myself again to really bring that fire.
Oh, well, this is it. This would be it.
Hell yeah. That's the biggest platform for and it was, you know, I just had to do it.
Are there any regrets? Like as far as the food, like technique or anything?
Yeah.
Like one time that you're like, oh, I wish I really would have done this. Like, do you have any of those?
The orchard challenge, of course.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
That and, of course, the breakfast. I could have done some things differently, you know. But definitely the orchard challenge is what really, really taught me and told me, keep doing your food.
Well, let's talk about that orchard challenge, because ultimately that's the one that messed up your knee.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm good now. Everybody always asks how my knees.
No, that's horrible. You know, I'm a former athlete, and that's happened to me. Knee injuries that lock up like that or get swollen. No joke. No joke. Yeah. Like, you can't move even if your life depended on it.
Yeah, yeah. I was in a wheelchair for almost a month.
I saw that. I was so worried. And then I looked forward and I was like, okay, he's okay right now. what ended up happening? You twisted it, right?
Yeah, I twisted my knees. I hit a couple holes that were in the orchards that I didn't see. Because, you know, we're running around looking up for our fruits and stuff. So mm-hmm. we weren't looking down. And you got cameras around you. So you're just hustling, trying to get the stuff you need and then going back to cook. So, and I was wearing kitchen shoes too.
Right, I
wasn't wearing
that.
Anything that I need to run around. So that messed me up. It tweaked it. But, you know, we're used to working hurt. It's kind of what we do. So I just kept going, you know, even though I was in pain, but the adrenaline was pumping. You know, as an athlete, once the adrenaline pumps, you don't feel any pain until it's really, really bad.
Right. You're like, give me duct tape. I'll get through. Yeah.
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 So, but you know, the more challenges I did, it got worse and worse. Basically, I tore cartilage in my knees.
Oh.
Almost all the cartilage in my knees.
Oh.
Luckily, I didn't get a ligament. That would have been really bad. So it healed on its own. I just needed rehab and healed on its own and rested. So I was very blessed and lucky.
How long were you out? That's serious.
I was in a wheelchair for almost a month, 3 weeks a month. Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't walk. One day I just couldn't get up.
Wow, you know, that's
definitely
scary.
When I had a chance to do Last Chance Kitchen, I couldn't do it. I just really couldn't walk. I tried to pull through and say, and again, I worked hurt my whole career. I can, but this summer I just really couldn't do it. And finally, I told myself, I can't have this. I can't just do things for myself. I have to think about everything else in my life.
Absolutely.
And really go for it. You know, like, because if I would have tore a ligament, it would have been a wrap. It could be my whole career.
Right.
Or it could be just longer injured, you know? So it's like,
what was that like going home? What did your wife tell you? She must have been so worried about you.
Yeah. And so I showed up. She didn't know how bad it was. Oh my God. So I showed up in a wheelchair, but you know, she was there for me. The team was there for me. Bravo was there for me.
Oh, like, they're really amazing.
Yeah. They have such an amazing team. They made me feel at home, made me feel safe. It really took care of me while I was there. The doctors in Portland are so dope and so caring. They really like helped me out, like mentally, because that can break you.
Oh, when absolutely.
When you're always on your feet and for hours and hours, and that's all you do, mm-hmm. and you cook and you create, and you tell stories, and it could all be over just because you can't move your legs.
That's devastating.
Yeah, it can fuck with your mind a lot. So
they really, I think a lot of us got a taste of that during this pandemic. It's been hard to not be able to just dale madre and like go 100 miles.
Yeah,
a minute, exactly. You know? Oh my God. I'm so glad you're doing well though, Chef. We were all very worried. I was trying to follow your Instagram stories, but I know you guys can't release them ahead of time before the episode. You guys have to go along with the episode, right? Man, course, that's a long secret to keep. Y'all are keeping the secret like a year and a half. It feels like.
Yeah, you know.
How long were you gone from your family in total?
I can't really say, but you know, it's a couple months.
God, that's a long time.
Yeah. Wow. It's really a long time. But you know, you're in it to win it. You're in the grind. You're in this moment that you can, not many people get these opportunities. So
I know. Chance of a lifetime.
Blessed. Yeah. Staying positive about it, even though you miss your family and friends and your businesses. And we're all worried about businesses because of the time that we're in. You know, a lot of us didn't have people there. My wife quit her corporate job to take care of our restaurants.
Oh, wow.
In the bar to make sure everything's going well while I was gone. So, you know, that was definitely in the back of my mind. But you think about things like, you think about where you came from.
Absolutely.
A lot of us didn't grow up with much.
Right.
Our families had to work really, really hard to provide for us, work multiple jobs, and for us to be on TV on this amazing show, it's amazing opportunity. We had to take it. Yeah, we had to take it and just pull through. Like, just go for it and realize that what comes after is the most important thing.
100%.
What you do with this platform is the most important thing.
Yes, it really is.
When the competition, but how you roll with the and run with the ball after all this momentum is the most important thing. How far you can go to really know your purpose, to fight for what you're fighting for, and
move the needle forward.
Exactly. Because we knew a lot of us were of color on the show.
Right.
We knew that this is an opportunity for us to really motivate our people.
It's been amazing to watch you guys collaborate, which is how, well, I'll get into that little portion in a minute, because I do have just so many flowers to give you guys for that. I've been stalking all of y'all, everybody on Instagram stories. But one of the things you were saying right now about, you know, how everyone came together, POC, and for the Latinos on the show, my favorite collab moment, and I wanted to ask you about this. I've posted it in the grid before, was you and Chef Maria. I want to see this show with you and Chef Maria. You know, I died when she told the nation on TV, you know, speaking Spanish with Nelson is like holding your pee for a really long time. And then finally getting to pee. And then it's the clip of you guys speaking Spanish to each other. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I loved, because, you know, a lot of us Latinos sometimes are the only Latinos. And when you find the other one, you're like, hey, right? So I saw that. Yes. And I love that you guys made one of my favorite dishes, the lobster stuffed chile relleno.
See.
And so just, you know, what was that experience like with Maria and like you guys being able to speak Spanish and all of that? And of course, you know, with the other Latinos, but that episode is the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it was magical. Honestly, we worked really well together. It was respect from the the moment we came together, you know, like respecting each other, respecting our positions and who we are and our cuisines and our cultures. And, you know, we were just similar. Like we started speaking Spanish and we felt like home right away, you know, being Latino, we're like, okay, this is our chance to really do something so crazy and dope and bring our foods together and showcase and represent our people, represent La Cultura. So it was so great to work with her. And it's crazy because we did the food that exactly we were going to do on our own and just brought it together. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to do a lobster thermidor Caribbean style. Mm-hmm. And she was going for chile relleno. I think she was going to do pumpkin and all that, keep it mm-hmm. vegetarian, con café and un café mole. And I was like, oh, we decided let's just bring it together. Let's stuff the lobster in the pepper and add the curry sauce and do the manzana and the Brussels sprouts. And it was just perfect.
I mean, you know, that looks so good. I don't think I've ever heard of a lobster stuffed chile relleno.
I know. It was amazing. Yeah.
Y'all need to add that to your menus and name it the chef, the Maria Nelson or the Melson, right?
Yeah, right. I actually did it for a tasting menu.
Did you?
I did with El Tesoro tequila.
Oh, I love that. Really cool. I think that's got to become y'all's staple dish.
Yeah. And soon Maria might be coming to Oakland for everybody to know. She might be coming to Oakland in August to cook with me here, Sobre Mesa, and do a really fantastic dinner. So this is not the end. That was not the only time me and her are going to cook together. So you got to look out. She's going to come to Oakland and I'm going to go to Tucson. We're going to plan and do some amazing things together.
And that was, you know, as a viewer, that moment was big to me because we don't get to hear Spanish often.
Yeah.
And to hear Spanish in the kitchen, like our families. I remember as soon as I heard you guys, like my ear perked up. I was like, wait. You know, it was so awesome to be seen in that way. And I love that it was like cross Latino cultures and like it was a whole infusion. So actually getting to your point about working together, that leads to my next part. I have seen y'all just killing the collab game. Everyone's going everywhere. Like, what are you guys up to? I feel like you guys are a little clica. You're your own crew. And I'm trying to keep up to see where I could jump on here and meet you guys. But this is so cool. Like, you guys are a fam, but like a real one. What has life
we really
now?
Bonded.
Yeah, big time. Like, I've never seen another group. Cause you know, on the Bravo sphere, we follow a lot of the Bravo people and like y'all run deep. It's so sweet. What has life, like you said this several times during this interview, and I totally get what you're saying because I'm watching you guys do it. Y'all, it seems life really started when the show wrapped and y'all are just like killing it out there. What has this been like now post show?
Oh, it's been amazing. We really started a family. That's the most amazing thing. Una familia, de verdad. Like we all really clicked. It was just, you know, and we all made a pact before we all started and said that we're going to show positivity. We're going to show no drama as much as we can. You know, it's always going to be drama, of course, in any competition, but we work really hard to show people that this is about motivating, about uplifting people, especially after the year that we all had. Amen. With a lot of people dying and the COVID taking, you know, everyone to the ground. We wanted to show positivity and show that people can unite. And then because we saw each other and we're like, wow, this is the most diverse amount of chefs we ever seen, especially on Top Chef.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's really fucking rock this shit and make it special. Let's really show people that all these different cultures, all these different ethnicities that can really work together in some ways, you know, and show that we can all love each other and be positive no matter what setting we're in, even in a competition setting. And I think we did that, you know, like,
well, America heard y'all were nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah. That's fucking so great.
Amazing.
It's all fantastico. Eso. Like it's absolutely insane. And it was just natural. Like we made a pact, it wasn't an act, it was natural. Like we're naturally just there for each other. You know, we wanted to be. You know, look what happened with Maria and Jamie, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
wasn't that like, like a novela, like that was special. It brought tears to all of us.
God, yes. I tell you, I think I cried every episode, because right before that was also that one challenge where Dawn cuts her finger, and I was like, shout out to Team Latino. It was Chef Maria and Chef Byron that jumped in and were like, how can we help? And it was a team. I was crying then. I was crying with Chef Jamie and Maria. Like, I was crying when you left. I've been crying. This season was so moving. I've never been so emotionally attached to strangers on my TV. But because y'all were nominated for an Emmy, I realized it wasn't just me. Like, we all felt that magic that y'all were creating for us. It was really beautiful. And so what's next now, Chef? You guys are doing a tour. What's going on? I see you guys gathering to do menus and stuff. How's that working out? What are you guys planning?
It's going great. So the next collabo is with Chef Indie Week. Chef Indie Week, definitely follow them. It's an amazing program. Nonprofit who brings chefs together and just these amazing dinners. I did it in Portland, which is where Top Chef was filmed years ago. So I'm part of that family, and a lot of us, it's been a lot of alumni from the Top Chef world and family who have been part of this. And in 2 weeks, actually, we'll be in Richmond, Virginia at Brittany's restaurant. So Chef Brittany Anderson has a beautiful restaurant there. So it's going to be me, Chris, Brittany, Abishar, who's the man. Chef Kiki is going to be there, and a couple of the Top Chef alumni from the past for the first few seasons are going to be there together. And we're going to rock this. We're going to cook our food and have a really great time.
So are you guys doing it feels like it's an unofficial Top Chef Portland tour. Are you guys visiting each other's establishments and then reuniting?
That's so dope. Definitely. And there's so much to come. Again, Maria, there's a chance she's going to come here to Oakland.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Possibly Chef Dawn, Chris. We all want to visit each other. And it's just to kind of see each other, of course, but also to cook again with each other, not against each other.
Of course.
Just to have fun and again, show that this is real. We became a real family and show positivity.
You guys have a name? Is there a group name? how do we find I want tour tickets. How do we follow this tour?
no name yet. You know, it's just season 18 and whoever's collaborating together.
You guys just let each other know.
A lot of these things. Yeah. We plan things ahead. You know, we want to roll with the momentum. We want to roll with the momentum.
Absolutely. Show
people again, and just have fun and do great things for people to.
Well, you guys can update your social media game now. Y'all can say Emmy nominated chef so and so. Yeah, ride that wave, baby. Ride that wave.
I think we have a chance. You know?
Hell yeah!
It's gonna be amazing. But yes, it's great that people actually felt us and felt our stories in our hearts and really saw us being genuine. Absolutely. You know, it wasn't an act.
No.
It wasn't produced. It wasn't scripted. Like, this is really who we are. And it's crazy to see that as chefs, because a lot of chefs, we have egos, you know, all about ourselves and trying to win awards and all that. But it was more than that to us. And especially for the ones of color, we all are here for a movement. Is not to win Michelin stars anymore. It's not to be James Beard winners. It's to really uplift our people and change the game in this industry and other industries to show that us as people of color can do it all. You know, it should be where we can do amazing things in this world together, you know, not against each other. So that's the fight, you know, that's what drives us and stuff. That's who we are as a people.
What a beautiful way to end our time. I can't believe this has flown by this hour. Well, for me anyways, I am so enthralled with your story. You know, before I let you go, is there anything, you know, I always love when we have guests on here to, you know, to give a shout out to all the Dominicanos listening, you know, the floor is yours, sirs. A despedir.
No, gracias. It's been un placer estar aquí con ustedes para toda la gente. This is our time. Este es el tiempo de nosotros todito para enseñar la cultura latina, africano. This is our time to come together and really pushback, you know, come together as a people and get our respect, get the respect that we deserve. We're a part of this world in a positive way, and we have made amazing change in the world. We have changed the world for the positive and the best. So let's really keep doing this. Tú sabes, it's like, el tiempo es nosotros. Like, we just have to keep going for us, keep showing the youth that they can strive for greatness, because they see us as role models, you know, and not just me, it's like all of us, anybody right. of older age. Like, let's always think about the kids and how they're growing up, how they see us, you know, not just seeing their phones. Like, let's do this in real life, you know, not just on social media. Let's create real change that can bring a better world. You know, our parents and ancestors have shed blood for us, have worked hard for us to pave the way for toda la gente and la cultura. So let's keep that going.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. That's a beautiful way to wrap it up. And, you know, thank you so much for being with us. And in Mexico, we always say, Viva Mexico. Is there a slogan? I know Chef Byron says, Pura Vida.
Pura Vida, that's what we're going for.
Is that the reunion word?
Yeah, that's kind of Portland, that's how we come in.
Top Chef Portland slogan?
Pura Vida.
Pura yeah, Vida. Like it. And so, para todos los escuchando de República Dominicana, all of our Dominicanas listening, you know, I love you guys. I'm so excited that we got to do this to bring representación Dominicana. Chef Nelson, mira, thank you so much. Mándeme.
Y también para mucha suerte con los cubanos, what they're going through. Yes. We're here for y'all. Son parte de la cultura de nosotros, de la latinidad. That's who we have to really show give a lot of strength to, a lot of energy for them to make change, because that country has been going through a lot throughout the years.
Absolutely.
That's not right, you know. So mucha suerte con ellos, mucha energía, mucho corazón y amor. Pura vida.
And for all the Cubanos, esto es Cuba, Cuba Libre, Patria y Vida. Y'all know I've been following the story in our Instagram stories, so please follow our pages at Bravo Latinas, or just type in Latinas Watching Bravo. And Chef Nelson, thank you so, so much for sharing your time with us. We're so excited to follow your journey. And I'm ready to find tickets for this Top Chef Portland tour when y'all roll through. Thank you so much again. We appreciate you, Chef.
Un placer. Un placer. Appreciate you too. Gracias por todo, and keep doing amazing things that you're doing. Keep fighting the good fight, and we'll all come out this as a big win.
Así es. We'll see you next time. Thank you guys for listening. Latinas Watching Bravo.